money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. This is Donna Mitchell from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
So we've been sitting here dissecting the Cavaliers a little bit from their two losses in Orlando. 38-point loss, 23-point loss. Add that together, that's 61 points. Series, though, even with those losses, they only count as one loss, tied at 2-2, which means now it becomes a best-of-three series. The first 1-2 wins advances to the next round of the playoffs. Cavaliers have home court advantage in the best-of-three series. So are we making too much of the blowout losses and should just count them as one loss, or is there more to it and reason to be concerned? Let's go to the hotline right now and bring in the outstanding NBA beat reporter, Cavs beat reporter at HoopsWire.com. Follow him on Twitter, Adam Eco Hoops. Sam Amico joining us. So, Sam, what do we make of the two losses? They're just two losses, or no? They're embarrassing losses, and there's a reason to be concerned about the Cavaliers.
I think it's a little reason to be concerned because of the, you know, Kenny, they were so troubling, especially, you know, I kind of wrote off game three as, well, the Magic are going to get one. They played out of their minds. And then the Cavs looked much better in the first half of game four, and then the wheels came flying off again, you know, and I think that that was a troubling sign in the sense that, you know, has Orlando found something, playing with more energy and more determination? And, you know, is it something that they're going to carry over to Cleveland? Because those, for six quarters of this series, the Cavs look like they haven't even belonged against a much younger team. So I think there's a little bit of concern there heading into game five, even though it's in Cleveland.
Sam, the three-point shooting, I mean, obviously, we look at three-point shooting a couple of different ways. Cavaliers shot so many in the regular season, it's hard to compare it to an amped-up defense in the playoffs. And we all know they keep shoving it down our throat how long this Orlando Magic team is. Should they try something different to get these? Are these guys not getting open, or are they simply just missing shots?
I think there's more than anything, they're not getting open. They've just really had trouble. And, you know, I mean, part of the problem, too, is Max Strus isn't knocking him down, which is really why he was traded for this last offseason, to make shots at this time of year. He seems hesitant and, you know, again, with decent reason, because when he is putting them up, they're not going down. George Niang, another guy who was signed during the offseason to knock down threes. Darius Garland's either been just okay or really quiet. Caris LeVert's not getting, you know, he's not really scoring much. And, I mean, these are guys that they're relying on, and where are they? So, you know, I think that going back home is going to help the Cavs shoot from the perimeter, as it often does, and it sure worked for Orlando. I don't think the Magic will shoot as well in Cleveland like they did in the first two games. So, I mean, the Cavs have that working in their advantage, but, you know, look, the offense on the road, even when they were winning at halftime in game four, was a whole lot of, let's see if Donovan Mitchell can do it alone. And for a half, he did. But when the Magic took that away, it spelled immediate problems, and Cavs just never recovered from that.
Sam, I did the numbers. As a team, Cavaliers shooting 23% from three-point range. They're 29 of 123. That means they've almost missed 100 three-point shots as a team through the first four games. And we know, Sam, defense gets ratcheted up, you know, a couple of levels in the playoffs. But for their best three-point shooter to be Darius Garland at 36%, how concerned are you that LeVert, Niang, and Strus and two of those three were brought here to knock down threes, that those guys just aren't going to get it done, that this could continue for the next two or three games.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. They have not, you know, I mean, J.B. Bickerstaff has opted to use three guys off the bench when it's not garbage time for the most part, and that's Niang, LeVert, and Okoro, and their bench is just getting killed, you know, as a side note there. As for the three-point shooting, yeah, I mean, one of those guys, Strus or Niang, again, the reason they were brought to Cleveland was, you know, because the Cavs struggled so mightily to hit three-pointers last year against the Knicks in the playoffs. So they went out and got a couple of wings who are expected to spread the floor. Sam Merrill has only played limited minutes, but when he did, you know, that game one, he was not able to knock him down either. So, you know, I think that that's a little bit of a concern. Maybe they're in their own heads a little bit, and that can impact your shooting. But, you know, if they don't start making those, they're not getting out of this series. And if they do get out of this series, they're certainly not going to last long in the next. So it's absolutely vital that those guys start knocking them down.
Sam, I want to talk about J.B. Bickerstaff. We listened to his post-game comments, and he said, we saw something we liked in the second quarter. Well, let's imagine there's four quarters in a game, and if you liked it in the second quarter, what made the difference that you couldn't do it in the second half? Did they take away the paint from us? Because it seemed as though, okay, we're not dropping our perimeter shooting. It's not good. So we worked it inside. Did they take that away from us in that game the other day? And if so, how do we get around that?
Yeah, well, they certainly did. They took it away from the Cavs in that second half. And the way you get around that, well, you make perimeter shots. You spread the floor. You make it easier for Jared Allen and Evan Mobley to operate inside. And, you know, Jared Allen's had a fantastic series, but he's a guy who's, you know, he's supposed to be your fifth option on offense.
Right.
Here he is, you know, being really number two next to Mitchell all series, which is great for him, and it speaks highly to him, but it's hard for the Cavs to win games when he's your number two scorer in the playoffs. It's just it's hard to sustain. It's okay for a game or so, but, you know, you're talking about really the guy who's probably played the best all around on the Cavs. That was never supposed to be the case. So, you know, I think obviously, yeah, as you guys said, Orlando has great size, and there's no doubt about that. But they're also, you know, a very inexperienced playoff team, and you should be able to just overmatch them based on experience alone. And if you look at these two teams on paper, you're going to say, yeah, the Cavs are better than that. So to answer your question, JT, yes, JB has to get more creative. When those outside shots aren't falling, you've got to find other ways to score. And, you know, I thought the Cavs did a good job of that in the first half of game three with 63 points, or I'm sorry, game four with 61 points at the half, and just really fell apart there, kind of almost stopped running the offense. What little offense they've been using wasn't efficient at all, and that made things a lot easier for Orlando. And you've got to stop turning the ball over if you're Darius Garland and even Donovan Mitchell and some of the others. You've got to take care of the basketball, because that's a killer on the road.
A great point by Sam Amico, our guest from HoopsWire.com. Cavaliers have turned it over 17, 15, 14, and 15, averaging 15.2 turnovers a game in the first four games of this series. The younger, inexperienced Orlando Magic only turning it over 13.2 times a game. So they can't throw it in the ocean if they fell off the Titanic, right, Sam? And they're not getting enough chances to fall off the Titanic by turning it over. That's not a recipe for success, whether you have home court advantage or not, correct?
Absolutely not. And you know, those turnovers, the numbers aren't so terrible, except for the fact that they're making them at the worst possible times. You know, a lot of those turnovers in the second half against Orlando led to easy baskets for the Magic. And that's, you know, it's just something. They're killers, because you turn it over, you hang your head for a split second, and next thing you know, the other team's scoring. So just have not been sharp. And they weren't incredibly sharp in games one and two, but they never trailed. So they managed to take care of the ball and do the little things well enough in those first two home games that a lot of stuff didn't come back to bite them. Well, you go on the road, your bench is giving you nothing, and you're turning the ball over and you're not knocking down outside shots. Yeah, it doesn't matter that Orlando's a lot younger and a lot less experienced. You don't do those things. I mean, that's a recipe for failure in the NBA, and they need to really, really, I think, not just beat Orlando, but come out and get a convincing win and get themselves to believe in themselves again and that, you know, things can work if they play the right way.
Sam Amico, our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at Amico Hoops. Check him out at hoopswire.com. Also, Sam, tell everybody out there about your podcast that you have both on Facebook as well as anywhere podcasts can be found.
Yeah, you can find my live show Thursday nights on Facebook, 330 to go. That's live Thursday at 6, and then it's on YouTube whenever you'd like to check it out, 330 to go. And then, of course, I co-host the Cavs on the Break podcast with John Sable and Chase Smith, and trying to do one of those after every game. But, you know, the last game we kind of skipped because it was a Saturday afternoon and they got blown out. So anyway, most games you could find us on Cavs on the Break as well.
Hey, Sam, why should you show up to do a podcast when the Cavaliers didn't show up in the second half?
If they don't care, neither do I. You know, that's
there
the
you
way
go.
I look at it so often.
Sam, Donovan Mitchell is in line to make $50 million a year over, a four-year contract, $50 million, $200 million, right, if he signs the extension with the Cavaliers. He's not playing like a $50 million a year guy. He's not putting up numbers like we've seen from other superstars around the league, Nikola Jokic, Anthony Davis, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards,
Kyrie Irving.
You know, Kyrie had a big game, even though they lost. They're tied 2-2. How hurt is he from people that you've talked to, and is that why he's not putting up these numbers, or is he just, not playing well?
Well, I think part of it is he's probably still, it seems like, that knee's bugging him a little bit. But even more than that is the fact that, guys, you watch him in these games, that first, you know, the first half of game four, he's doing it all alone. I mean, they were up 60-51, and yeah, he had 18 points, which isn't half, but when you think about his contributions in terms of creating for himself, creating for others, he's just exhausting himself because he's had to do it all. He's going in there against all the trees that Orlando throws out there, and it's, you know, it's not easy. I watch him sometimes and I think, how did he manage to drive again, you know, after doing it five or six straight times? You just think he'd get tired. So I think part of it is he's had to carry the load, and that's going to wear you down. You know, we saw after halftime of last game, 0 points. And that's because nobody else stepped up. Orlando could just focus on him, and that's an issue. So I don't think it's all his fault by any stretch. But, you know, I mean, right now, this team is, let's see what Donovan Mitchell can do by himself. And that's not how it was supposed to be built. So, you know, Orlando is recognizing that, you know, slow this guy down, stop him, contain him, limit him, make the other guys beat us, because guess what? They can't do it. They're showing they couldn't do it last year in the playoffs, and they're showing it again this year.
Okay, so then that reminds me of what we used to see when LeBron James was here. It's the LeBron James effect, where everybody else stands around, including your own teammates. And if that's the case, then it's up to J.B. Bickerstaff to say, okay, if this guy's driving, somebody's got to follow, somebody's got to trail, and he either gives it up to Jared Allen in the lane or he kicks it back out for a wide-open three. Why don't they see that, Sam?
Yeah, that's one thing that's pretty surprising to me. The other thing that's surprising to me is you won 17 of 18 games in January to kick off the new year, and you did it with Donovan Mitchell playing point guard. Now, I'm not saying that he's your full-time point guard, but I would think that you would look at that film and say, this is what worked for us when the ball was in his hands to start the offense. Why not give that a try, at least some possession? Let Darius Garland move over to the, you know, like Kenny just said, he's not shooting great from three-point range, but at least he's making some. So why not move him over to the two? Let Donovan Mitchell run the offense. He's still going to score plenty. He's still going to be plenty impactful. And to me, I think if I'm J.B. Bickerstaff, I'm looking at that film in January and saying, this is what worked for us offensively. And if that means more time for Sam Merrill and Max Strus spending more time out there on the wings and letting Mitchell bring up the ball and Garland has to take a seat, so be it. My job, if I'm J.B. Bickerstaff, is on the line here with this series and perhaps even the next, but definitely with this series. I'm going to pull out all the stops and don't care whose feelings get hurt because
Amen.
I've got to get us out of this series.
And that means George Niang, sit his ass down, give Marcus Morris a shot, give Sam Merrill a shot, do something, because what you've been doing ain't working. Hey, Sam, great insight as always. We appreciate the time you always make for us here on the Kenny and JT Show, and we'll talk again either in a few days when the season is over or in a few days to preview the next series, all right?
All right, guys, that sounds good. Thanks a lot for having me, and we will chat at you soon.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, and we'll see you at the game tomorrow. Sam Amico checking in with us, HoopsWire.com. Follow him on Twitter, @AmicoHoops.